Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment advice. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to see a real estate deal for exactly what it is and nothing more, nothing less.
I gotta say, I'm really happy to be back in sunny Southern California.
I have to say that too, Jill.
It was fun being up north. I love San Francisco, and I love spending some time in Monterey. I thought that was so pretty, and it was very interesting seeing some of the fire stuff on the way south. I was blown away by some of what we saw.
Every time I come back, specifically this time of year, in early January, I just love getting back to work, and that's no joke.
It's
I always feel like it's like 3 days too long. Like, come on, can this end
hilarious
already, please? You want to stretch it out?
I do. That's just so funny. Jack, I love you, but you're like, thank goodness the holidays. That's not how you say it, but thank goodness the holidays are over. And I'm like, oh man, can we back it up and do that again?
I know. I want to know everybody's back at work. All our staff's there.
Oh, I know.
I want to see the numbers again.
Well, I'm not, so I couldn't tell you.
I know you're not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Do you
I'm mentally, you know, about February 1st, I will let you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes.
Before we could actually get into this, what we're talking about on this show, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Matt asks, hi, everyone. After a successful first year trying out the land investing business, I'm hoping to scale up. Jack often says that the most experienced members of the group have scaled up from the $1,000 profit properties to $10,000 profit properties or higher.
Or 40.
Right. I would like to sell my properties for cash, and so I'd like to find the balance between time on the market and profit per deal. Has anyone experienced where the tipping price point what the tipping price point might be for cash buyers?
Oh, I have a lot to say about this at the end of the question.
Right. Obviously, fewer and fewer people can buy for cash the higher up you go. I'd like to hear from people's experiences where that might fall off. This is a really good question. I made these numbers up, but for example, $5,000 selling price for a $10,000 market value, property flies off the shelves. $10,000 for a $20,000 market value sells fairly quickly as well, but $20,000 for a $30,000 value takes a long time. Most cash buyers are $10,000 or below. Ice out what this is, or something along those lines. Please reference your selling price and your determined market price. Thanks in advance for your time and consideration on this question.
Should also say that if you do go to the jackjill.com or landinvestors.com, it's the same thing. Community, there's lots of people that answer these questions, not just us.
With their numbers and their experiences.
Yeah, with their experience.
And yes.
The highest margin. There's two ways to look at this. Number one, may I answer this question? Do you have a lot to say about this?
Yes, you may. Mother, may I? Yes, you may. Oh, my gosh.
This is not how we talk to each other in real life.
This is hilarious.
If we had a recorder.
Yeah, I know. No, what really is, no, what you would have said to Jill, stand down. Oh my gosh. Woo.
Yeah, it'll go like it'll go something like this. Did somebody ask a question again?
Oh,
we have to answer another question.
What
How
the
many
heck?
Times have we covered this?
Oh yeah. Exactly. Mother. My favorite is when you said for the whole planet, you know what? I'm here to tell you, there are such things as bad questions. That's a Jack quote.
The people around our office have all these quotes that I've said.
Oh my gosh.
There is such thing as a bad question.
Yes.
You're right. That is something I have said.
You have said that.
this actually, Matt, happens to be a good question. So. In between my stomach hurting because she's making me laugh
Thank
so hard
you.
Again, I'm trying to answer it.
Yeah, do you have an answer, Jack?
My favorite, there's two ways to look at this. From a profit margin standpoint, like a percentage, for us has always been 5-acre properties. 5-acre specific desert properties. That's not all we buy and sell. You know, the whole group buys and sells infill lots. We buy acreage. But desert property, you can buy a whole slew of them for $500 each sometimes. and sell them for $2,500 mm-hmm. for cash, and you don't keep them around for long.
Right.
That's a huge profit margin, right? That's
right.
What, 5 times? 5, 10, 15, 20. Yeah,
yep.
5 times your money. So that's, you know, that you're not going to retire on that dollar amount, but as a product.
If you do 100 a month, you can.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you could. Exactly. So that's one way to look at it. But if you're going for the, I really just like to do one deal a month perspective and not have a job. Mm-hmm. I find that $40,000 property is great.
Mm-hmm.
That sale price, if you can buy a property for 5 to 10, maybe 15,000 bucks and sell it for 40, people don't seem to have trouble coming up with 40 grand for some reason.
No, it's like, I was just going to say that. For me, that's still a good, yeah, anything up to 42 is easy. The phone calls usually go, hi, I just want to make sure it's still available. I'm going to move some money around.
Yes, exactly.
That's all they
do. That's exactly right.
I'm like, okay, and where do you want me to wire it? Here you go.
So the whole key is, and this is our whole business model, and everybody in the group knows this, if you're going to sell a property for 40 grand, a piece of dirt, make sure it's very usable, whatever that means to you, and make sure that it's worth 80 grand, 80 to 100.
Right.
It's really easy. It sells itself then.
Right. So it's big.
Yeah.
It's got something cool.
It's got
an attribute.
Some kind of cool attribute, right?
Yeah. Maybe it's just gorgeous acreage somewhere, rolling hills, who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's someone can put a ranch on it.
Yeah, if you can see yourself.
Or put cattle on it or something.
You know, I haven't talked about this in a while. If you, as a seller, like you're sitting there looking, wondering if you're going to buy a property to resell it. If you see yourself and you start thinking this thought, well, maybe I should just buy it for myself.
Oh.
I see that spot between those two trees. That's where that cabin's going to go.
Yeah.
If you have that thought, then you should buy it.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to think that.
That's good. That's really good. Thank you, Jack.
Today's topic. See a real estate deal for what it is. It's pretty simple. Joe was like, before the show, Joe was asking me, what do you mean see it for what it is?
What are you talking about?
What I mean by this is, you know, we all, if you're interested in or you listen to the show for a reason, it's certainly not because it's entertaining.
There's nothing else on. My phone has a mind of its own. I don't know what this is. It just came up next.
most people, me included, are like, yeah, I'm going to listen, gather a bunch of information and figure out how I can not work anymore and just work for myself and make $50, $60, $10, $40, $50,000 a month. And that's it. And so that desire makes you see things that are not there.
Oh.
Or in a, it's like dating. Like women will see them.
Everything comes back to dating with you.
It does.
I do have to ask.
Like, you know,
all of your example, you never say it's like fishing. You never say it's like riding a motorcycle.
Because fishing and riding motorcycles are not complicated. They are exactly what they are.
Oh, here we go.
There's tiny little variables in fishing.
Well, why don't you just say like building a rocket?
I don't know anything about that.
Well,
I have a tremendous failure in dating.
Well, this is my point.
So I
my
feel
point
like I
sounds like, based
it.
On your analogy, you know about as much about dating as you do about building a rocket. So there we go.
So, you know, if you're sitting across the table on a third date and you kind of like the girl or the guy and you're sitting there and you start to see things that might not be there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, God, he's really handsome. No, he's not. He's not handsome at all.
Oh, yeah.
What's his last name? That works great with my
first does.
Name.
Look how pretty this is.
Yeah
that's
he's
true.
He's just an idiot. That's really what he is. Let's
that's
just
true.
See what it is.
Man, I hope our kids have his eyes.
Probably. Girls do that stuff?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure there's an app somewhere that you can download
put your
photos.
Faces together. Is it what your kids are going to look like?
I think so. I really think there is. I hope it's on TLC. That's a whole show for that channel, too, by the way. What our kids would look like.
Oh, God, Joe, that's brilliant. If there's not an app for that, there needs to be one.
Because some women are that crazy, by the way.
So when you're buying these properties or you're getting into this or anything else, and I know you want it that bad. You know, we all want it that bad, but just see the deal for what it is. Don't, if it's got properties and they're, it's priced $5,000 too high, don't buy it anyway. Just, you know, tell the seller it needs to be $5,000 less or I'm walking.
Yeah, you can't talk yourself into it. You know, but you know what's so funny? My mom and I or would have this thing like maybe we're shopping and I really like something and maybe it's more money than I can afford to get this jacket, let's just say. So my mom would come to me and say, all right, do you want me to talk you into it or do you want me to talk you out of it? Because we could go either way. Uh-huh. And it's just like this. Okay. You're obviously falling in love with it for the wrong reasons, you know? So how do you want this to go?
Like the price.
Yeah.
If you buy a jacket because it's expensive and that's the only reason, which I see women do frequently.
Oh, no. So mine was, it looked really good, but I'm like, I just shouldn't, like, this was a long time ago where I really couldn't afford it. You know what? It was a ring. I can think of an exact situation where it was a ring. Seriously. And I wore the ring. I was at an art show and the guy said, just wear it around. And I'm like, oh, great. You know how that goes. Because then you're not taking it off.
Right.
That was brilliant of him. So I remember going, so how I justified it was at the time.
I was with you.
Do you remember? I'm like, I don't have a car payment. So it was the ring was the equivalent of what could have been a hefty car payment. So that's how I justified buying the ring.
That's insane.
I know.
You still have the ring?
I do still have the ring.
Okay, so that's not so bad.
I really like the ring.
The real tragedy is when you do that kind of thing and you don't use it.
Right.
So if you buy a $4,000 coffee maker and you only have a cup of coffee once a week,
right?
That's not good.
So like this property, if you relate this to property, like, oh, I know that there's a buyer out there for this one. It's a small market, I know, but I know because I'm an expert marketer and I know it's going to look great on my in my inventory because this one's so different.
Never want to have that
conversation
and
I know that I'm going to find it. It's going to be great too because I'm going to have a story to tell when I find the one person that fits this property type.
It's
you don't want to do that.
Such a bad idea.
Exactly. You're talking yourself into it. And you, yeah.
Here's what should happen. Oh my God, this property is $5,000. It's worth $58,000. Easy. In fact, it's probably worth more than that. Mm-hmm. $50,000 I can get for it probably next week.
Right.
Then you're seeing the deal for what it really is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what I've noticed too is that
it's even easier. Go ahead.
Yeah. I say when I talk to people, when I'm just like, especially talking about land, I'm like, you have to see it as a line item. You can't, and I learned that term from you, you know, but, and you can't fall in love with it. This is what I see people doing too, is that they spend too much time on it. I find themselves wasting time on it. So seeing it for what it is one thing and just moving on, like good deal, not a good deal,
that's
good
it.
Deal, good deal. That's how you should be doing it.
Nailed it, Jill.
And it's easier too when you're, have a ton, you know, say you send out a hefty mailer. This is the goal here. You send out a hefty mailer and now you're staring at 20 people that either returned your offers or called you back and have said yes. And you can go, all right, this is cool. I'm going to go through them all quickly. I don't want to spend a month on this, pick the cream of the crop and then move on. And when you have a lot, it's easier when you're really, really new, or maybe you don't have that many and you're staring at six or, you know, just a few. It's hard. I get it.
This is going to sound crazy, but we actually do exactly what I told everyone not to do. And here's why. Because we've been doing this for 25
years. What did you just say? What you,
because we've done
do
this for
I
25
say,
years.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I've been doing this for 25 years.
Right.
And so the fact is, when I look at the 15 deals we're going to buy tomorrow, there's always a couple in there where I'm not running to the bank, but I have some other thing that I see in it. For example, I know Sean up in Washington would buy these all day, but I know he's not going to be happy about the price, but I know that he's actually going to buy them because we sent him a bunch of deals that are great, and he happens to have a bunch of buyers for this one specific property.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I'm not necessarily seeing something in a deal that's not there, but mm-hmm. It's just not our norm. It's
right.
Not our regular, wow, you know, mind-boggling deal.
I understand. Because, I know what you're... That does make sense. I know this guy's going to want five of these, and I'm just going to pass them on to him. I've done it, too, where I've even kind of showed the guy before I pulled the trigger.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, because we have a good relationship. He's not going to go around and do it himself. I just say, hey, this is coming in. This is coming into my inventory. Do you want them? And then based on if they say yes, then I will go pull the trigger.
Well, then... When it's me, I say, good, you want them? You can take all the other ones, too. You want these that bad, you can take the good with the bad.
Exactly.
My point is to reiterate Jill's point, which is you'd make different decisions on this topic based on where you are in your career.
True.
That's
it's
all.
Easier.
If you're brand new, you should be running to the bank on every deal to make sure you don't lose.
Yeah, you want to have that really, you don't ever want to have this bad feeling in your stomach that you're like, oh shucks, did I overpay for that?
Yes.
I don't know.
You never want to ask yourself.
You know, you don't want to be losing sleep at night.
Right. Should I have bought that ring?
Yeah. Oh gee. Oh. So, I didn't know about my ring.
All right. So after all this time, because I was with you, and we was right when we met. So it's been like a decade. Are you glad you bought the ring?
Oh heck yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's great then.
Yeah, I made a good decision. And
sure,
but you know
buy
what?
A car you don't want. Like, oh man, I should have not have bought that car. After driving it for a month.
Oh, maybe the little green car. Well, no, I had fun in the little green car. I don't know. How do you feel about the little green car?
I think that was the worst car I've ever been involved in my life. Ever.
I like
of
that little
all
green
car.
You know what? Well, here's why. The little green car for me was a sound investment because I got my money's worth out of it. I had however many thousands of dollars of fun in that little green car.
I bought Jill a green Porsche Boxster several years ago, and it ended up being
gone for a while.
A terrible car from a maintenance standpoint.
Well, because it was a Porsche and it was a little Boxster, and
I'm not here. This is just factual.
What's funny when the top broke?
That is not the first or the last Porsche that we have ever had, and all the other ones were fine.
And I had to drive it to the repair
the
place with the top
the
a third of the
position.
Way up. It was so funny.
You know, it's funny now.
It is hilarious.
I was not laughing about it.
I know. As you're following me to this place. And then it was like, you want how much to fix it? At that point, it became a disposable car.
That's exactly right.
I was so don't bother fixing it. Just put it in the closed position. I'll leave it light. Now I don't. It's a convertible that the top doesn't go down.
So there's a whole point to this that, you know, when we sold that car, when the guy made me a stupid low offer, just like we do with real estate, and I hugged him. I said,
I know.
Here's the keys. Please make sure
have
you pay
fun.
The cash. I gave Jill all the money because I don't want the bad juju. And I said, just please take it out of our lives, please. And
that
he
was
said, okay.
So funny. I was mentally done with that car way before that. That was good. I know you were even further beyond that. So, that was good.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another 20 minutes listening to the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss the definition of the yoga pants syndrome. This is my show.
And we answer your questions, should you have one, posted on the jackjill.com online community.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. I hated that car, Joe.
I know.
I hated it. I don't know why. Well, I do know why.
You always thought it was silly.
And I'll tell you.
Well, it really is a chick
car. It
was car.
A first-generation Boxster, first of all. It was uncomfortable.
Was it first? I don't think it was
a first.
No,
generation.
It wasn't. I've seen older Boxsters. You sure?
It was, but that body. Who are you talking to here?
All right.
This is a first generation Boxster. It was black leather in Arizona.
That's true.
A black top. It was hot. The air conditioning really didn't work. Nothing
green.
Was perfected.
I like that silly little car. It was
constantly
a fun little
overheating.
Zippy thing. It was fast. It was fun. All right. Well, that's why it was my car. We went into it knowing this was going to be my car, and it was good, and I liked it. So. Okay, if you like green cars, please share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Hey, and while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property. I think you just like the color.